This series is produced by the folks at Vic Health, Victoria's health promotion agency.
Sometimes some of that barrier there is that sense of failure. And what I like about the community garden is that it was shared. The successes are shared. And so that the failure is also divided amongst us.
Hello and a big welcome to In Good Health. I'm your host, Dr. Sandro. I'm a medical doctor, public health expert, Vic Health CEO and foodie. Well, for these last episodes of the season, we have some very special guests for you. We'll be talking to two of our fantastic Future Healthy Community champions about how they're impacting their community's health and wellbeing to create a healthier future for all. Future Healthy is our latest initiative from Vic Health, a vision for Victoria where no young person is denied a future that's healthy, regardless of their postcode, bank balance, or background. But we know we can't do it alone. That's why we're working with 14 incredible community champions, a diverse group of young people and parents from right across our state who are passionate about creating healthier communities. Our first guest today is Felicia Lau. Felicia is a mum of three kids who's all about community and bringing people together. Along with her husband, Felicia started a veggie patch that turned into an ever-growing community garden, bringing with it stronger connections between her and her neighbours. In today's episode, we'll call Felicia and discuss just how she started cultivating food, as well as the importance of community and the many benefits that it can bring. Let's give her a call.
So how are you?
I'm good.
I'm super excited by this conversation because I am also a bit of a self-professed foodie. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but I do love food.
Yeah.
An Italian family obsessed with food. Food was always the center of everything. Is this like a lifelong love for you as well?
I think more so when we've had kids and we've been a little bit more conscious about what's being put on the table and really growing and learning our kids in the process. So I would say like we've always loved going out, but having like really good food on our home table. It's really been a family kind of thing.
That's awesome. So tell me about your kids.
Yeah. So I've got three kids. My eldest, Jesse, he's in grade one. Oh. Then I've got two girls. I've got Elsa. She's in kinder. She's just turned five. And I've got our youngest, who's a busy two-year-old, Ali.
Awesome. Yeah. And are they big foodies? Do they love their food too?
Yeah, they do. I think especially the girls, they really they generally love their food. My middle one, she's so good. Her lunchbox is always clean. It doesn't matter what I put in it. So it's so good.
And so food kind of changed for you when you had kids. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I think especially when you first become a mum and you're in this journey of starting your baby on solids and you're getting, you know, a fair amount of input from health professionals, maternal child health nurse, what works with babies that age, what doesn't, what texture it should be. You're a little bit more conscious about the nutritional value. So you're just a bit more conscious of food groups. And then people are talking about it a lot more. So then you have mum friends. And so there's a connectedness there in terms of food and everyone's talking about it. What are you giving your baby? It's a topic. It's a hot topic in motherhood, actually.
Does it feel, I mean, I suppose there's a sense of, you know, were you kind of exploring and learning yourself as you were doing that? I mean, were these things that were kind of new to you, exploring kind of, you know, what foods are high and what sort of nutrients, and particularly for young kids at that age?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had to learn everything as I went along. I hadn't taken so much conscious notice. As a mum, you kind of do. And I think in the age of social media, it made it a little bit easier as well. And even with my third child, I was still learning and following like people on Instagram, dietitians on Instagram, things like that, changing up variety, ways to present food to your baby. So, yeah.
Because it's not just about the food itself, is it, as a parent? It's also about like the things you do with the food, the way, you know, interacting and touching it and,
absolutely,
and experimenting with it. And was that kind of...
and exploring. And yeah, exploring, I mean, food.
Yeah. I was always told as a kid, you know, don't play with your food. But actually, then I went to med school and realized that absolutely kids should be playing with their food. It was like,
food is fun until one. Don't stress out about it. Food is fun until one. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Just enjoy it. And so, how did you explore those, like the things around food, you know, the cooking, the sharing? I mean, did that come naturally to you with your kids? Was it easier or harder with the first or the later kids?
No, I said I'd have to do a lot of learning through my support networks and my sister, my older sister. She had already had kids. That helps a lot. The maternal child health nurse has little booklets. They've got posters up. And then the friends who are just journeying with you. They've got Barb's mother's group, whatever, and learning together. No, I totally had to learn everything from the start.
When did the growing food, because it's not for you, it's not just about eating food or preparing food, but, you know, growing produce is also a big thing for your family. When did that start? How did that start?
Yeah, well, that's a newer thing. I mean, we've always tried to grow things along the way, but it was really lockdown last year when we entered that hard lockdown that kind of gave us that impetus to do it, partly because we were restricted in the number of activities we could do. And my husband sort of drove elements of it and I drove other elements of it to make it a family thing. So, you know, we needed to get out. My husband kind of lost all his sporting activities. So it was a really good way to get out. We wanted to do something that could involve all three children and they're at different developmental stages. And then I was really keen to incorporate it into our family life in that we were already doing juicing as a family. We'd gotten into that a little bit before.
Juicing things, making juice out of things?
Yeah, so cold pressed juice. We inherited one. My mother-in-law passed away a couple of years ago and she was doing a lot of juicing. That was kind of her thing. And so when she passed away, we inherited this amazing juicer. And it was kind of a legacy for us that we could kind of keep this going. It's a really nice family thing to do. And the kids loved it. They loved putting all the veggies in, the fruits in, and then we get juice coming out because they're part of the process in that way. So it's really nice.
That's so nice. So like it's not only tradition and something that's passed down, which is so, I mean, there are so many, I think for me as well, thinking about my own childhood, there are so many kind of, you know, whether it's the, you know, the passata making machine that kind of smushes tomatoes and the juice comes out, very similar. And my nonna gave it to my parents and I've got one given to me and you kind of take it with
that's
you.
That's so nice.
It's such a nice part of the tradition, but also getting involved as a family. It's like something that represents not just food, but also, you know, common activity and even, I suppose, love and family and connection in many ways.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's done that for us. And this was kind of an extension of that juicing. At the time, my second child's got a disability. She's got a diagnosis of Down syndrome and we integrated everything in there. She was doing sort of vegetables and fruits with her speech pathologist. We were helping her categorize and we were helping her with language, her speech. So language, actually knowing what the items were and then actually expressing it. Mm-hmm. And we were sort of helping her categorize things like vegetables grow in the ground, fruits grow on the trees. So this was a really nice way to integrate it all. I realized through lockdown actually that she learned way better and actually a lot of children do, but because she's got developmental disabilities, it sort of was a little bit more pronounced, I think, with her learning. We realized that she learned way better hands-on. So doing the veggie garden was an extension of that. It was about getting out, mental health, fresh air, family connectedness, actually, you know, producing something together and having that sense of success and working together as a team. Then there was a speech kind of therapy integrated in there. And then a lot of that flowed into the legacy as well. We could integrate it. So there were lots of little bits that came together really that made our family go, yeah, let's do this. Because that initial setup is a bit of an investment.
Yeah. So tell me, I mean, I just think you've described so well, like all of the things that we often forget come with really great food. We often think about, you know, food is kind of something that takes time. And if we're lucky, we get some energy or calories or, you know, something tasty back. But all of the things that you described along the way, not just for little ones, but for big ones like you and I as well. I mean, you know, connecting, learning, being outside, you know, history, connection, family, you know, all of these pieces that come with interacting with food and kind of growing and preparing and even, you know, touching and smushing and kind of you know, coming in contact with food as young ones develop. And I just think it's so, it's amazing how much you manage to kind of get out of that experience for your kids and with your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we got so much out of it, we then went to further extend it.
Tell me about your own backyard. So take me to your backyard. Okay. For those of you who can't make it, describe for me what I see if I'm in your backyard, you know, visiting your veggie garden.
Okay. Well, what it looks like. Okay. So we go out our side door into the backyard. It's a nice sort of rectangular backyard, and right bang smack in the middle, against the wooden fence, we've got a bit of a veggie patch there. It's got a cute little white border picket fence because that was my thing. I want to make it look pretty. Awesome. But and so we've had peas in there, we've had lettuce in there, we've got kale, we had cherry tomatoes in there, we tried to do pumpkins, we got baby pumpkins. Just little small ones there. We've had carrots in various locations. It's not all nice and neat, but the kids did label them. So we got the kids to, and that was one of the ways they got involved. They made little placards, illustrated it, we laminated it, and then put it on the back of a chopstick and the ground. So there are little like cute labels that the kids could get involved in. Helps to keep track. Yeah.
Growing your own food can bring many benefits, including eating fresher and tastier food, producing less waste, and saving money. It can also be a great way to spend more time outdoors, keep active, and even help us connect with our local community and neighbours. In fact, a recent survey on pandemic gardening by the Australian Food Network Sustain found that 72% of people reported that gardening greatly improved their mental health. But when it comes to growing food, sometimes it can be tricky to know where to begin, let alone getting others involved. So how do we look at making those first important steps? Felicia is here to share her story and answer these very questions.
This sounds amazing. And so if I'm listening and I want to start a veggie patch at home with my kids or my partner or even in a share house, like what are the kind of practical first steps that you would recommend from your own experiences?
Yeah, well, I'll have to admit, Peter, my husband, kind of did a lot of those initial first steps. Mm-hmm. And
so have Peter as a husband. Got it. Okay.
First step. So look, a lot of it was support online, actually. Mm. There are some pretty good kind of gardening groups on Facebook. He joined that. There's a lot of trial and error, and that's why I say that initial setup is a bit of an investment, because when you're starting out, there's going to be a little bit of trial and error, and I think people can get put off because of that.
What were the initial setbacks that you had that, like, you don't want people to, you know, be thrown by, or you want to warn people of?
Yeah, I think sometimes with like Peter was telling you with the seedlings that he tried, sometimes they didn't quite work out, or like he'd get advice online and then he'd try to accommodate it. Like if people say, how do you grow seedlings, and then his wasn't growing, and then they'd say, oh, you need a little bit more air in there, and he'd drill holes into this carton and try and get more air in there, or he'd try and get more humidity in there, and then things wouldn't grow. Then he'd put it in the shed and then try and grow it, and then that grew too fast. So there was a lot of, like, a little bit of back and forth, and I think that process, you've got to be okay with that process of not getting it right the first time. I think if you absolutely, you know, and enjoying that as well, because he said actually it was kind of fun, like learning and experimenting. So go in with like a bit more of a fun attitude than needing to have an absolute product from your first attempt. It's got to grow. Like it's got to be lush, like you see on Facebook.
Give it a go. Just giving it a go.
Yeah, giving it a go and having fun in the process, the journey itself. Yeah.
So tell me about, because the not only did the plants grow in this case, but the garden grew too. So the garden got bigger. In fact, it kind of took on its own life in your local community. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so it grew bigger in the sense that we extended it into the community. So this year with this lockdown, this hard lockdown, I just had this sense like, you know, we got so much back from it. It was hard to start. What can I do to get people on this journey with me? So I had this idea to do a community garden, but then like, how do you start one? And we had to simplify it and make it accessible to people as well. So then I had this idea of getting planters. So we had one. Actually, awesome. Ours was growing well. Yeah. Ours was growing well. That's why I said we can do this as a community, because the planters were growing really well. Yeah. And so the $29 planter, soil was $6. Mm-hmm. And you chucked it in there and it was portable. And I basically put a word out to our neighbors and I said, hey, let's start a community garden. Who would be willing to invest $35 and add to the community garden? So we've got seven planters.
We had
seven planters. And I said, the produce is shared.
Yeah.
We're going to share in the planting. And then people came forward and went, well, I've got seeds for this. I've already got this in my garden. I can bring some seedlings. And it sort of took on its own life. Like people wanted to be part of this different ways. And then it was great for the kids. It was hard lockdown. There were no playgrounds. And basically how we set it up, we live on a corner. Mm-hmm. We're on a corner block and we've got it just on that corner, which actually has quite a lot of foot traffic because it leads into a walking and bike path. Mm-hmm. So it was, we had to find somewhere to put it,
but I didn't want it like easily.
Somewhere that people could access freely. And it didn't feel like it was just ours, like we owned it.
It became kind of part of the community. Once again, food and growing food created connection and a sense of connection across the community. I mean, was that community there? Did it create community in your street, or was it already like a really close street and this bumped it along? Like, how's it developed the relationships even in your local area?
So a little bit of both. Basically, at the end of last year's lockdown and seeing how the lockdown sort of progressed. So in that same corner where now the community garden is, I used to put a teddy bear out there during last year's lockdown. So a lot of people had them in the windows, but mine was physically on that corner. And the bear used to change outfits according to the season. So people loved it.
There was a sense of community already, but this sort of took it to that next level.
There was, right. And then last Christmas, I just went, let's invite everyone to a Christmas party. We did a letter drop Christmas party. We started a Facebook group. So in essence, there was a Facebook group for the neighborhood, which now has about 130 people, 130 neighbors in it. So there was a little bit of a connection there. And then this sort of took it, it bumped it up even more during this lockdown. It gave people the ability to intersect with their community at whatever level they were at. So there were people who just wanted to kind of have a look, and they did. They'd walk past and they'd just have a little peek, and that was part of it. Like sometimes that's all the exposure that people need. They're just only ready for a little bit. They just want to have a look. And then there were people who didn't know anything about veggies, but they want to be part of it. So they went, I'll buy one. And they were able to contribute financially in that way, physically and financially in that way. And then there were other neighbors who clearly have a green thumb. They came along and they were almost doing little like tutorials.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
This is how you dig it. And the kids were learning. My kids were there and this neighbor came and was showing them how to plant. A lot of the younger kids in the neighborhood, we left watering cans out there and gave them access to our front tap. So they'd come during the whole of lockdown this year and various people would just come and water it. And the kids, I think, just love watching. I think people actually, not just kids, people in general love watching things grow.
Mm.
There's something about growth that kind of lifts an individual. So that's been really fun. And the one that we left one actually for the kids to just kind of dig, and they just threw seeds in there. And we went, that one won't grow. Let's leave it like a bit of a mud pit. And guess what? It's actually grown. So
full of plants.
Yeah, we don't know what's in there because the kids just chucked in a whole bunch of seeds and they were digging and stirring and watering. And it was a bit of a PlayStation, but it's growing. Yeah, it's amazing.
I suppose the little pot of mixed seeds that's growing beyond your expectations is kind of an analogy for the whole garden in many ways. I mean, the idea that you've created something that's so simple and low cost and you know, low barrier of entry as well. Like you didn't start out as a
yes.
as a guru gardener, but you kind of yeah. anyone, as you say, anyone can bring what they want, experience something at their own kind of level of expertise and just share stuff and just be themselves with the people around them and be in a kind of a place that's you know, accepting and welcoming for everyone, but a common mission. I mean, how much do you think that's an important part of it, that kind of common mission or the, you know, the focus of growing plants to be able to kind of create yeah. the community that you have?
Absolutely. I think that shared experience is critical, but it's shared. And I think there's a level of connectedness that comes with that range of shared experiences, and it brings ownership into play, which kind of cycles on itself, that ownership, share the experience, we're in this together. So it's really uplifted the community spirit. We now have neighbors dropping off their own produce.
I have to ask though, are you going the big Christmas yeah. party this year? Are you growing some of your own veggies? Are you going to have home, you know, your own community cucumbers at the Christmas party this year?
I would love to. That's such a great idea. Actually, we should. We've organised for one of the neighbours to dress up as Santa. So Santa should hand out
seedlings some and these, seeds and
yeah,
a few cucumbers from the garden. That sounds
that's
awesome.
A great idea. Thanks for that one.
So final question, Felicia. I mean, you've been part of Future Healthy, which is our Vic Health's new program focused on supporting young people. And you're a community champion within the Future Healthy initiative and movement.
That's right.
How does, what's the plan? What's the next step? Well, what would you love people to hear in terms of creating their own healthy future in their community from your experience? What would be your advice or your pearls of wisdom?
Yeah, I think alongside kind of what we've been talking about, what I'd love to see is people adopt this we mentality when it comes to well-being and health. And in doing so, you're willing to partner and invite other people along with your health journey. And that can be physically, that can be emotionally, socially, mentally, spiritually. Wherever you're at, you can actually add value. And if you're on that health journey, hey, bring someone along. Like, I totally didn't know I was doing the veggie patch. I still don't know.
You're doing it pretty well for someone who doesn't know.
Yeah, everyone thinks I do. But I'm like, I want to bring other people along with me on this. And whatever level you're at, there's always people who can journey with you. And it's the mentality of like, we could have just kept this within our family and just, you know, kept doing our backyard thing. I've realized through the pandemic and a lot of the lockdown that people actually want to be on a journey together. And sometimes it's just that little bit of support, and it's inviting people on that journey with you. Sharing an experience just takes it to a new level.
Thank you. Felicia, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for finding the time to speak to us today.
No, thank you for having me.
The idea that you've started with, you know, food at the table has become food in the backyard, which has become a food movement in your community, is just so inspiring. And yeah, we think you're truly amazing. And we really appreciate your time joining us today.
No, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the In Good Health podcast. To find out more about the work that we do, head over to our website, vichealth.vic.gov.au. Oh, and make sure you check us out on social media under @vichealth.